Chapter 3. The Long Road Back. Goldman Sachs was fighting for its life all through the Depression and World War II, and was profitable in only half of the 16 years from the 1929 crash to the end of the war. Most partners owed the firm money because their partnership income was less than the moderate draws that their families needed to get along. There was little need for Wall Street services, particularly services from a mid-sized Jewish firm with few distinctive capabilities and a prominent negative reputation from the failure of trading. In the early 30s, the firm neither led nor co-led any underwritings, and in 1935 it did only 3 debt placements that totaled less than $15 million. This period was later described, euphemistically, by Walter Sachs as a time of defensive action, as the partners worked to unravel the many problems caused by Goldman Sachs Trading Corporation and fought valiantly to retain the firm's corporate relations. Sachs always called it Trading Corp, apparently reluctant to use the firm's name when identifying the great failure. The Sachs family was vital to the rescue of Goldman Sachs in an essential but unusual way. They stepped aside. Howard and Walter Sachs knew that, having become accustomed to genteel affluence, dignity, culture, and refined tastes, they were not the right people for the gritty job that had to be done. They couldn't do it. So they took secondary roles for themselves and gave Weinberg the power to lead the firm, knowing he was smarter and tougher than they were and could do what had to be done. Arthur Sachs, living abroad with his French second wife, agreed with them. He retired and eventually withdrew his capital. Weinberg himself had no alternatives either, particularly when the Sachs family agreed to underwrite and forgive well over $1 million of his share of the operating losses. Jim Weinberg, Sidney's older son, gives the Sachs family great credit for sustaining the firm. Over the 20 years from 1927 to 1947, Goldman...